Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This test has 50 questions. You need to get 43 correct to pass. You have 57 minutes to do it. Why not 60 minutes? We will never know.
I feel sick.
Okay, yeah. Start test.
Yeah, start test.
Welcome
so to I've got to tie my hair up. I feel so hot.
That's okay. Part of the test. Okay. You've just failed.
Oh, God. What? Because I put tie my hair up?
Yes. Welcome to Nobody Panic. Each week we do a how-to. I'm Stevie. Tessa is over there sweating. Today is how to pass your practice theory test. Because, spoiler alert, bitches are passed.
Yeah, boy!
Yes, woo-hoo. Boy.
Yes, boy. Man. But I'm really genuinely very excited for you. I'm proud. I'm really proud.
I was very proud. I was very nervous. And, I'm looking forward to passing on my pearls to those people who maybe are thinking, I'm not set up for doing that sort of theory test. Is it like a school exam? Is it like... Oh my gosh, yes. But also there are ways.
I'm really, really excited. And I realise now you're talking about pearls of wisdom and not just like your jewellery.
I don't own pearls.
I can't wait to pass on my pearls. I was like, gosh.
That's part of the theory test. You then pass your pearls.
You have to work out your inheritance plan of who will inherit the pearls.
That's between, yeah.
Anyway, I'm really, really proud of you. I, of course...
You passed with flying colours.
No, I failed.
Right.
So I'm
saying,
yeah.
Oh, because wasn't it? Because we've talked about this. Was it hazard perception?
I failed hazard perception and the quiz, though.
Got it.
So well done.
Great.
How do you feel? Pretty good.
Relieved. Really relieved
that it won't be hard to beat me at your driving test because you've got a failed theory and you've already smashed it, and then you've got five goes.
It's not about beating, and that is actually. When I've passed in a year and a half, no, I've got to, because I actually take so much comfort and cling so hard to the fact that people have failed because it makes me feel so much less pressured. The most intelligent people I know, like it's not about being good or intelligent. The theory test is about whether you know how to work and do that theory test. It's not a test of intelligence. It's not a test of knowledge. It's literally just like, can you, because the hazard perception, it's not about actually perceiving hazards. You have to like time it so that you do it when the program thinks you should click.
That's the thing. As we've talked about with exams and all stuff in the past, it's rarely a test of your actual ability.
Mm-mm.
And it's a test of how good you are at tests.
Absolutely. When I did very well on my theory test. And when I got in the car, I like immediately nearly hit a pedestrian and ran a red light. And the guy was like, so red light means? I was like, I know. Or like the signs. I'm like, I know all of the signs. But when I look at them when I'm driving, I'm like,
of course, it's so hard.
It's not.
And that never even goes away. I got in somebody's car the other day and they, stranger on the street, popped in. How you doing? What does a red light mean? No, somebody was driving me and they just were driving. They were driving badly, but they were so tense. Almost like went up and over a roundabout, like just like missed all these turnings. And they just kept being like, I'm a really good driver. I'm so sorry. And I was like, please, please, please. I was like, I'll shut my eyes because as soon as someone else gets in the car, you're suddenly just like, all the windshield wipers are on. You don't remember what the clutch is. You're just like, there's so much pressure all the time.
So much pressure.
And so,
and with theory tests,
everybody
feels
the same.
Felt even more pressure, weirdly, because if you're anything like me, I've never driven at all. It's amazing how rare that is. Like, so many people have like, oh yeah, I've driven, but like, I've never, and you're like, how? I'm so scared. But I've never been in the seat of a driving seat.
What do you mean? What do you mean people have driven?
So many people. So like my partner He drove a bit. Drove a bit in Paris. He's like, yeah, had a few lessons. Didn't pass. Drove a bit.
Drove a bit.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Drove a bit. My sister, she'd driven around a car park for fun in Australia. Like that's a thing. Like they practiced a bit before they had their lessons. Gina had driven for like 10 hours with her partner before she had a lesson. So I haven't done anything. And so the theory test was really scary, and actually weirdly, it took so long to just like book it. And know what order to do everything, and everyone has different, you know. Oh well, you should book your lessons and then you book your theory test. And I was like, well, no, I don't want to do that because I don't have the pressure. Or like go through a national intent. I went through an agency called National Intensive. I wouldn't recommend it. But it helped me because it was like this. They give you the order of everything to do, and then they like text you to remind you and say like, okay, it's time to book this. Okay, are you halfway through your lessons? Okay, you tell us when you pass your theory. So you're like, oh, good. Like this, like an adult dealing with it.
Yeah.
And you just pay twice the amount that you should.
Sure.
Also quite bad. But yeah, I was so scared of it. Now it seems so like, well, that was it's easy. Like it's not really relevant to driving. But the idea of facts, learning it and regurgitating it, it took me ages to just get up the courage to book it and go, okay. And I booked it for like a week's time. And everyone was like, oh, I think you should not do that. So I moved it. So I had 2 weeks. And also just like, yeah, what app to download? You look at the highway code and it's like, it's so long. There's loads of things like that I just found like it very overwhelming, but it's counterintuitive. But then when you realize that, you're like, okay. I'll do the things that you want me to do.
I'd like to. Can I have question one, please, just to pep me up?
Why should you allow extra room while overtaking a motorcyclist on a windy day? Here are your options. The rider may turn off suddenly to get out of the wind. The rider may be blown in front of you sexually. The rider may be blown in front of you non-sexually. The rider may stop suddenly. The rider may be travelling faster than normal.
And there's not one like D, all of the above?
No.
So it's a windy day.
There's never really D, all of the above. And no, I think that's what you're waiting for. That's probably why you failed. Always, yeah, it is. The rider may turn off suddenly.
But it's a windy day.
It's a windy day. The rider might turn off suddenly to get out of the wind. The rider may be blown in front of you. The rider may stop suddenly. The rider may be travelling faster than normal.
Okay, so this is my main reason I failed and my main issue.
All of those things could happen.
All of those things could happen.
Yes, and that is the essence of the difficulty of the theory test. And that's once you accept that with each question, they're basically asking you for like, oh yeah, but this is the one that obviously tricks the most drivers. And this is the most common thing that could happen. You can then start to like learn it properly.
Yeah.
So
okay.
All those things could happen, but there is one that that apparently is the one that the driver is not thinking is going to happen.
Okay, hang on. Right. Hang on. I really want to do well here.
It's not blown sexually.
Okay. Okay. Stopping doesn't feel relevant here because why are we mentioning the wind? Nor does turning off particularly. So to me, it's being blown sexually in front of me.
Or non-sexually.
Or non-sexually. Or being going faster. Mm-hmm. So being blown feels logical, but can wind be making the motorbike? We don't know which way the wind's going. So I'm going to go, oh, bloody hell, be they're blown sexually or non-sexually in front of me.
Correct.
Shit.
Because because you are aware, like you already know, like if they turn off, like, okay, that's sort of irrelevant to the wind, isn't it? Like
yeah.
You're right. They're not going to be traveling necessarily faster than normal just because it's windy. But yeah, big vehicles and motorcyclists are more liable to be blown and cyclists as well, to be blown off course.
I have 2 points before we move on.
Yeah.
One is that Rupert Murdoch's fourth or fifth wife was called Wendy Deng, famously hit that man with a shoe.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't expecting it to come up now, but yeah.
Yeah. But in the documentary about the Murdoch children, their wedding takes place on a boat and it's incredibly windy. And with absolutely like total deadpan, the documentary narrator says, it was a windy day for Wendy Deng. So when you say that, when you were talking about that, I just couldn't in my head. This is why partly why
again,
I failed.
Why again,
because me just going like for Wendy Deng.
Wendy Deng. Yeah.
So okay.
And now we've run out of time.
And now we've run out of time. And then bing bong. So when you on the app there, were you practicing and it was already timing you?
Yeah.
Oh Christ. Anyway, the In my day, I think it was just my parents at the kitchen table with a stopwatch.
Really
apps
hard.
Been invented. This is exactly the problem. And the problem with so many things is you're so caught up in the absolute fury of being like, all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I think the issue with this is that you're driving in a holistic and principled level way, and why the people fail the clicking pattern thing, because you're like, driving is a hazard. Everything is a hazard. Yeah. This is inane. And yet you're being tested in this very particular way of doing things that feels very counterintuitive to being a human and to being a human driver. And yet you're supposed to like jump through these special little hoops.
Somebody put it in a very helpful way, because I got the hazard perception was my thing. I really struggled with.
Nightmarish.
It's awful. And also there's not enough mock tests. So once you've done it on the app, the official app, you go online, there's some, they're quite blurry. And then you've done them, so you can't keep practicing new ones because you kind of remember the clips. So angry, because I was like, there's no way of me practicing properly now. I've kind of done it to a degree, and I was kind of like failing and then passing and failing and passing. I was like, oh God, I'm never going to know. You have to let go of how inane it is, because when you think about it, you do need to know those things before you get in a car. Like, there has to be some way of testing. Maybe it was you, Thomas.
I doubt it was me.
There has to be some way of testing. There has to be some way of examining. Otherwise, you'd be getting into a car and, like, the first 20 hours would be your examiner being like, is the rider being blown off sexually? What? Because you're not going to see all of those. You're never going to come into contact with every hazard or every situation in your driving lessons. So if something like buries deep into your subconscious, like the rider being blown off, when you're on a motorway, if you've never been on a motorway with a motorcyclist in a windy day, now you're gonna be like, oh, blown off sexually, and you are gonna give them more room. So it kind of like that, they have to test you in some way. And I felt like there's no good way of doing it unless they obviously put more money into it and just like make it so it's like a video game and you're actually like driving prop. But they're never going to do that because no one's got any money. And when like you go into the test, it's like, it's so basic and so like, it's like a machine of people just like constantly going and causing. I think, yeah, that helped me a bit, because it was like, okay, it helped me let go of how not fit for purpose it is.
It's not fit for purpose, but this is the system that we have.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you can do to change it. So you might as well just learn the clicking pattern.
And it is
and
helpful
do your best.
In the end, because learning that stuff was frustrating in some senses, but a lot of it has gone in, and I'm sure, like, it's kind of like having a little Rolodex in your brain that you see and you go like, oh yeah, that was a question on that thing. And like, it kind of, it has helped, even though I wish that it would have been done in a different way. The apps are fun. That's one thing. That's
Please.
Cool.
So you get to the test center on the day, and we're going to backtrack to the
we
apps.
Are going, yeah.
You get to the test center. What time's your test?
At 7:10.
Oh, at night?
Yeah.
Is this thing 24 hours a day in there?
I have no idea, but it was 7:10 and it was full as shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Weirdly, I was so convinced it was at 2. And why?
I've never told you.
You've never told me, but when I was about to be like, what time's your test? 2 o'clock, of course. If there's one thing I know about Stevie, is her theory was at 2. 7:10 is really, I've been blown off course sexually over here. That is such a surprise that it happens at night. Already I'm reeling. Okay, so we get to the test centre at 7:10.
In Ilford.
Have you shown up in Ilford? Yeah. How much does it cost?
£23 at the
moment.
And
again, I'd completely convinced it was 37.
I thought 30-something. And also, as well, it sort of needlessly, it separates it out. So it's like, your theory test costs a weekday is £23. Evenings, weekends and bank holidays, £23. Like, you didn't need to separate it out. Like, it's the same. But as I mentioned before,
that's so stupid.
I know. And therein lies
the whole problem. So like, how can you trust these people when they've done that?
Yeah.
I was imagining chronologically we begin at the test centre, but perhaps we begin...
No. Oh my God. No. What are you... this is why you failed. Okay. No, you do not chronologically begin at the test centre.
I thought we'd do some flashbacks once we got there.
There's no flashbacks. It's almost irrelevant what happens at the test centre.
Right, okay.
We'll talk about that because I think it's helpful to kind of know. But like at the same
time...
I'm
all in the moment.
Yes, I know. Famously... That's where you can't be if you're listening.
Okay, you got right.
So if you're sat here now listening to this podcast going, I'm listening to this because I've got my theory test booked for tomorrow and I want to know how I can, like...
Too late?
Simply go onto the government website, change your date to 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Or 3 weeks to give yourself more time. I chose 2 weeks because I thought that it was the perfect amount of like, oh, I've got to get going. And also enough times that I wasn't going to die. I booked it in a stress on holiday in Fuerteventura. So it was like, this is fine. Even on holiday, just so I'm calm, I'll download the app that's the like revision app, just so I can see the lay of the land and know how much to be I'm going to be stressed. Downloaded it. It was like, oh, this looks quite fun. It's like, you don't have to, which is what I thought, like read the whole highway code and then like do mock tests and be like, what has it gone in? The app is fully designed to take you through each section and just go through the things you need to know. So it's basically, it's one long mock GCSE paper.
And what's the app called?
This is where I fell down. Halfway through, I continued doing it while I was back in England. I was like, this is odd. Like, it's the odd thing. I'm like, sort of sentence just sort of just cuts out there. But I guess I downloaded, because I was in Spain, technically, a sort of Spanish translated language version of the official one.
Okay.
So just make sure you don't do that. When I got to England, of course, and I looked it up, it was the first one. Not when you're in Spain.
No.
Or flying over the ocean.
No, life is tricky.
Or your phone thought you were in Spain and now is in England, so it's still showing you.
Of course.
Just, nothing against the Spanish, of course.
What's the name of the app, Stevie?
Okay. It's really simple. It's called Official DVSA Theory Test Kit. That's the one you want. $4.99, flat fee. When you download it, it pops everything in there. It's got like the highway code. It's got the official DVSA theory test kit hazard perception. And then it's also got theory test kit and hazard perception together. All downloads on your phone. And simply, all you do is you go through each section. And when you've read, it gives you little bite-sized things to read. And then immediately you can then like test yourself with like 10 questions. And when you get to the bottom, the last one's the hazard perception. Once you've done that, you can do, and then you just start doing your full mock one. And basically, like, if you do it like that and you give yourself like maybe 2-3 days before the test where you're just doing the whole test, the mock time test, you will pass. Like, there's no like, oh, but what if you fully will pass? And there's no way you can't pass. If you've completed that and you can see you've actually done quite well and you've passed your mocks, you'll be fine. The problem is you don't do it and it's boring because you're like, but the apps are fun. The apps are more fun than, you know, what I thought, which was highway code. I don't know, like make notes in a notebook. Mm. And then, or like you're saying, your mum and dad testing you with a stopwatch. Like the app is just like crucial and they know that it's hard. So it's just got to download the right app. Number one, don't be in Spain. Number two, give yourself the amount of time, break it down. Two categories a day is probably enough. That's probably like an hour a day. When you're doing each category, it will ask you essentially the same question in slightly different wording. So many times that when it then comes up in the test, you're like, no, oh, it's the rider being blown off, of course, because you know the key words to look out for. It's still complicated and like it will still, I was really worried that when I got into the test, it wouldn't be like the app and they would have tricked me and like reworded all the stuff and I would have to, but they don't. Like the test wording is exactly the same as all of the practice questions and the mock tests that you do.
Does the mock exam on the app constantly if I did one and then I was like, I want to go have another go, it's not the same mock? It's like constantly gives me new questions.
No, it's different. Yeah, because there's like, you know, about 1,000 questions on all the categories when you go through. There's so many more questions than come up on the mock. So yeah, it's a different
50 questions in 57 minutes.
50 questions in 57 minutes. You have to get 43 right.
Baffling.
Baffling. But it's a different 50 questions, yeah, each time.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hazard perception is tricky because there's obviously not as many practices. But if you do a lot of Googling, you basically, there's like so many that look like they're different, but they're just the same government one. The government have got like three clips and they're just like all over the internet. But you can, if you keep looking, there'll be some, there are some websites that look like they've been made in the 90s, which they probably have been, are probably riddled with viruses. Worth it. I found maybe three full tests that you can do. And I just, and once you've done them after a few days, you can kind of go back and redo them maybe once. And then you've done six tests. The first time you do it, it will you'll be like, what? Like I saw, like the first time I did it, I clicked every single time I saw anything because I didn't really understand. Because you're not clicking when you see a hazard. You're meant to click when the potential hazard develops into an actual hazard. So, you know, oh, look, a car's turning and it doesn't do anything. You're like, fine. So when the car turns and then it kind of goes in front of you. So that's why you kind of, and you have to slow down. So you're basically trying to click a few seconds before the video is going to slow down for the hazard, which is impossible to know. Like, it's so hard. But once you do enough of them, let's try and click at the right time, just like a second later, and click three times. So that you've definitely got it within the little window that they want you to click. And the main thing is, if you click constantly all the way through the video, they will fail you because they'll think that you are AI. But if you can get through that, and if you can do as many as you can, and you can just be like, okay, I'm going to click three times when I know it's going to be like a fast car in my vision coming in here, or a pedestrian, or anything. That's the least intuitive and the most frustrating part of it. Mm. But like, you just have to take it. You have to take it.
Take it like a man. Take it on the chin.
Take it like a champ.
Just take it like a champ and be like, and know two things at the same time. This is stupid and you have to do it.
And practice it on your laptop rather than your phone, because you won't be doing it on your phone and you need to know how it feels like. So it's just like, it's like an old fashioned mouse as well. So, which if you can't do that, but like, it's good to do it on a big screen.
Yes.
Because I did it on my phone and I was like, God, I'll never see them. And then when I did it in the thing, I was like, oh, the screen's bigger and also the picture's clearer. Yeah. It's not pixelated. And like, so yeah.
Practice with that little finger. Here we go.
Fastest finger first.
Just to journey us back to the past. I'm 18. We're also trying to do UCAS.
Oh, Jesus.
And A-levels.
No app for that.
We're all in the kitchen table screaming. There's that. We've bought the entire, we've got a highway code from a car boot sale.
Probably out of date.
Deeply out of date.
God.
But Debbie's been like, it's 50p. And be like, well, but so it's massive. It looks like the fucking Yellow Pages, which again, we don't have anymore.
Yeah.
It's so big. Then, like, there's only so many mock tests you could do. So after you've done them, after you'd like printed them out, that was it. You couldn't get any more.
No wonder you failed.
Well, no, I also was just really bad at it. Oh, this seems like really calming and positive. Can I have another question, please?
Yeah, of course. Okay, you're following two cyclists as they approach a roundabout. They're approaching the roundabout, and there's two cyclists in the left-hand lane. Where would you expect the cyclists to go?
So this is what's happening to me and why I failed. Well, where are they going? And me being like, well, good luck to them. Why am I following them?
And to be fair, I know I've forgotten this. I don't know what this is.
I'm like, what would I expect? How dare I expect
presume to know
what those two lovely young people.
But what it is now, but now we've learned what it is that it's not, yeah, it's not saying like, where do you think these people are going? What it's saying is,
to the shops.
What are these people trying to tell you by how they've positioned themselves?
Right.
Because obviously, you know, being a now driver, it's seems to be so much about showing everyone around you what you're about to do. Best guess, so that they don't panic and crash.
I'm approaching a roundabout.
Yeah,
and they're in the left-hand lane.
They're in the left-hand
lane. So apparently, there's two lanes. That's news to me.
There could be 70 lanes.
Oh, could there?
Just they're in the left-hand.
They're in the left-hand lane of an unknown number of lanes.
Yeah,
there's two of them. I don't know what they're wearing. or what their relationship is.
No, because that's not relevant.
They might not even be together.
They probably aren't.
No, bloody hell. Okay.
So the options are, I mean, it's just all of them. Left, right, any direction, straight ahead.
Okay, so again,
as a driver,
as me,
yeah.
My answer is any direction, because anyone could do anything at any time.
Of course, but they're telling you something.
But again,
and also, it doesn't say where are the cyclists going to go. It says
what do you expect?
Because then they literally could go over, they could gouge shovels and dig under the roundabout and drive through a tunnel.
Wow, yeah. See, anything could happen.
But you wouldn't expect that.
No.
Yeah, would you?
No. Okay, so it's definitely not right, because they're in the left-hand lane and they definitely would have gone over to the right if they needed to go all the way around the roundabout.
I mean, this is great, yeah.
It could be left or straight ahead. Those would both be correct to be in the left-hand lane. And I don't feel good about it, because how am I to know? What do I expect them to do?
What's the most likely?
I'd like to click left, please.
Okay.
I was just Googling the entire question.
Cyclists approaching a roundabout in the left-hand lane may be turning right, but may not have been able to get into the correct lane due to heavy traffic. They may also feel safer keeping to the left all the way around the roundabout. Be aware of them and give them plenty of room. It's any direction.
See, because if you go back, listeners, you will hear that me, the human, chose
working it out
any direction.
So that question... The reason I'm annoyed that I didn't remember it, because I did my theory test like a month ago. I got that question in my theory test. I remember it because there is a whole category about that sort of stuff, and they just ask you that again and again and again. And there's another one that comes up again, which is a large vehicle. If it veers towards the left, where would you be expecting it to turn? So you go, well, left. But it's like, no, because it's big, it needs more room to get round. So it could be going right or left. And they ask you that question so many times. The when it comes up, you're like, nah, it's this old boy. I thought that a lot in my head. Oh, it's this old boy. Rather than like actually being like, oh God, so the cyclist is there. And because if you're doing that in the test, then that means you haven't done enough mock papers.
Yes, definitely. Because we sort of had two excellent questions come up, because the first one was like, oh, Jesus Christ, okay, we have to think of it like they're thinking. And then the next one is like, okay, what do we think they want? But really, my immediate instinct was the correct one.
Yeah.
Which was like,
it's
you
more
never
likely
know.
To go left, but you do never know. Like,
which was like, they could do anything at any time, which is, turns out to be, and I was, but like, then I second guessed myself and was like, what's correct for this? So basically, it's just about doing so many of these questions that when you're like, no, you can't get anything past me. I've seen these before. Can I have one more, please?
Of course. When would you use the right-hand lane on a three-lane motorway? So, of course, you could use it for many things, but there is a correct way. Number one, when you're turning right. Two, when you're overtaking. Three, when you're travelling above the speed limit. Four, when you're trying to save fuel.
Okay, so this is a sort of one that people tell you that it's going to be.
Yeah, and they're really obvious.
And there's obviously a joke one. Not a joke one.
There's often
like,
one that's like, when you're drunk.
Yeah, or like when you need to do your laundry or something. Yeah. You're like, well, haha, not that one. And then that's what people get in their head about what the theory is. And then when you get into the weeds,
It's all
the left lane cyclist stuff. And you go completely mad.
Yeah.
This one I think is... you'd never turn right on a motorway.
No.
Are you crazy?
You literally can't. Yeah.
What's my top one? Going above the speed limit. Way to try and catch me out. I won't be breaking the law. Saving fuel. Crazy. Anyway, I'd like to choose overtaking, please.
Bingo.
Two
for two. You've passed your theory test.
Yes.
Okay. So say you've listened to this and you've been like, great,
completely
you've
ready.
You've done your apps. You've done your thing. Taking the actual test, how was your experience? Where did you do it? What was the vibe?
Newbury, no recollection. Like, I...
Oh, good job I did it. Like,
you did it more recently.
This section would be very quick.
with this brown carpet and strip lighting, and I went and sat on a weird little plastic chair, and then somebody called my name. And I think I sat in a booth, but I can't really remember the booth. Mm. I remember being quite overwhelmed by it all. Overwhelmed and also disappointed in the lack of pageantry. Like, there was...
It was like, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, there was like just like a shitty old computer. And maybe the computers are much updated now, but they were very old then. And you were signing a weird little thing and someone was just like, there you go. And just like started you off. And I was like, where was the adrenaline, the countdown, the begin?
Oh,
you
there's
know?
A lot of adrenaline. There's not a lot of pageantry, I'd say, but there is a bit of a build up.
Oh,
now.
What? Ooh, well, they've taken my notes on board.
but there's a lot of, whilst being very efficient also being very sort of like rote and bored people going like, okay, great. Can you get like put all your stuff in the locker and then bring your
provisional
phone in the locker and you think, okay, we need your provisional. I was like, okay, does you need my provisional now?
Oh,
okay,
yeah, I remember that.
There's a lot of like going and like fanning around. And then, yeah, there's like little plastic seats that are all different colours. And it's like, you can sit on that colour when you're waiting to be called into the test. You sit on another colour when you're waiting for them to process your test, which I didn't realise how quick it would be that like you basically... But anyway, so there are people sat with like a very different energy because they've just done their test.
Right, yeah.
And then there are people sat... And then it's all like they pat you down and then a woman like checks part of you that doesn't make any sense. So she made me like roll down my sleeves. She made me like open my mouth. She made me look in. She looked in the hood of my hoodie, and then I had upturned trouser bottoms. What? Apple bottom jeans, the boots with the fur.
Were they? Yes. Good Lord. Well, no wonder you got patted down.
Absolutely.
Crimes against fashion.
And then she checked the hems of my trousers, and I was like, God, what are you looking like? I think I made like some sort of like non quip about like, what do you think I've hidden in there? Like the highway code, absolutely no acknowledgement because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. And then she delivers a speech that's like, about what you have to do. Okay, so you got 40 minutes, you got 50 minutes, 53 things. Go in, you'll need headphones. You're not allowed to leave unless it's the toilet. And she said it not like I'm saying it. She said it like five times that minute to someone. She's so bored, but efficient. And by the time you've like done that, you've done it professionally, you've done the locking and you've sat in the thing and then you've got, and then you get called in and then you're patted down and someone checks like your hems. It's quite like, oh, okay. It's hems, is it? And then when you go in and it's oppressively quiet. And then afterwards, when I finished, I came out and I thought, I like tried to come out through the patting door bin. They were like, no, just go around the other bin. I was like, I want it to be patted. Okay, fine.
Pat it down again.
Pat me again. Look, I've still got nothing in my hems. 100%. And then, yeah, you sit and then a just very bored man just goes like, you're just calling out names every like 5 minutes. And people, you're watching people get up and it's like, they've done it and they've, and he just passes it to them and then they just leave. And
when
you never
know
if you've passed or not.
When do you know if you've passed or not?
Like there's a printer going all the time. It takes a printout, puts it in it, sort of half in an envelope, half out an envelope. Doesn't look at it. Goes, Stevie Martin. I get up. He just gives it to me, and then next printer is like, all right, Lauren or whatever. And you're just like,
I can't believe it's like Lauren or whatever.
Know, like, and you're just sort of like, oh, that. Thank you. You know, like, there's a lot of like, get your stuff from the locker because obviously other people are coming in, and you're like, I'm sorry.
So do you look in the piece of paper, and that's when you know if you've passed.
That's when you know if you've passed, and because no one else is making any sort of facial expressions, and you don't either. So like everyone's just taking it, looking, and then leaving. And you're like, why is no one like going, yay? Or
yeah.
Like, oh no.
I think that's what I don't remember being patted down. And I feel like that's something I would have committed into my core memories. Yeah. I would love to be patted down. But I think that's what I meant about the lack of pageantry was this weird feeling of like, as an 18-year-old doing it, you've not been in very many situations in which an adult has sort of assumed you're a criminal. Like that you are like being patted down, that you're being like, where's your stuff? Put your stuff in here. Like even when you did exams at school or if you were like doing sports or any sort of high pressure adrenaline-y thing in which everyone's like, good luck doing your competition or whatever, your swimming gala or some shit. Like in general, all the adults are generally sort of on your side.
Yeah.
So to go and do something in which everybody's being very horrible to you and very efficient and
bored and
very
and
bored
passive,
and passive and no one's saying like, good luck.
Yeah, or well done.
Well,
like,
well done or anything. Felt like quite an alien, weird experience that, no, being like, none of the adults are saying good luck. But even now it's like, why aren't you saying good luck to these people? Like,
I know.
Why not?
It's really scary. And also the thing that baffles me the most about it, the whole thing, is that like, so I dropped some marks, obviously, and you just don't know what they are. Like, I don't actually know what I got wrong. I guess it's one of them. It might not, but it might be something else. And my driving instructor told me that when you become a driving instructor, the same thing. If you drop a mark, you never know what you dropped. And so he was like, but I've got to teach people. What if I get it wrong?
Yeah.
I need to know where my weakness is. They're like, well, we just will never know. And you're like, but there's somewhere that says it.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you obviously tell them?
Obviously tell them. So, yeah, it was very, that's odd as well. Because you're like, you get a percentage or you get like a
It says on your 49 out of 50. So yeah. You know there's one, but you don't know what
it is.
That's crackers.
And hazard perception. I really, like I dropped 2 marks on there and I don't know what it was because I felt like I dropped more. So it was really like, God, I did better than I thought on that, but I don't know what I didn't do. So you kind of leave being like, okay.
Yeah.
Good. It's a real relief.
Yeah.
And I suppose then it must be not so bad if you fail because it's like, well, there's not all this pageantry. Because you're just like,
no.
Okay, I didn't get it. So then you just do it again. Like you're just going to go in and do it again. Like,
I don't remember feeling particularly, I was very disappointed in myself, but it wasn't a real like, oh, I messed up. It was more just like, what a weird
everyone's
day.
Exams results and everyone's like, I got into Cambridge. And you're like, I'm in clearing.
Yeah.
For example.
That's what
I had to do.
It didn't feel like, no, it wasn't like that at all. It was just like, I was just like, what an incredibly weird experience.
Yeah.
But I think as with all driving, it shouldn't really be this like, good luck, kids. I hope everyone toot toot or like, go on, let her through. It should be very serious. Pat you down. Where's your hems? You know, boring.
Hems.
You need to be a boring, serious person behind the wheel. And so that's what this process is.
It's encouraging you to do that right from the start.
From the start of being like, well, if you think like, but I'm too fun, it's like, great, don't drive.
Yeah.
Don't come in here. And so like you can, even though it's hard to get your head around, ultimately it is like, this is probably right.
Yeah.
We don't need pageantry.
No, there's not good actually.
Good. So this should be a serious, serious experience.
It's a serious, boring business.
Yeah, and there shouldn't be like, oh, hooray. It should be like, take your paper and leave.
And leave.
And if you need to think and return, then you may. But you may not celebrate here, in this place
of
work.
They didn't say goodbye. I said,
I know.
I said, bye. And then I felt like an idiot. It was like I'd gone, I love you.
Yeah.
Like it was really odd.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so quiet. You had to be silent. So it was just even in the waiting room, I wanted to be like, so how long have you been driving? Like it's
like going through sort of airport security. If you're like, if you said to the person patting you down, being like, you've been here long.
Feels like airport security. But yeah, so it's basically apps, timing.
Practice.
Just do a million practice.
Past papers.
Yeah. Virus downloading, hazard perception tests. Take it like a champ.
Mm.
Don't expect for someone to say, well done.
Or goodbye, even.
Or goodbye. Check those hems.
Check yo hems.
For God's sake.
Check your hems. I hope this has been of help for anybody. If it's tomorrow, good luck.
Yeah.
As long as you've had a practice.
If not,
and you think, bloody hell, I'm inspired. I'm going to book it right now. When are we booking it for? 2 weeks from today.
2 to 3 weeks.
Two to three weeks, baby.
You know yourself. If you're historically good at like learning information and regurgitating it, which I am, 2 weeks I think is fine. If you need 3 weeks, that is the average amount it takes. Some people, a month. Like, that's also completely
Don't give yourself, don't put it in 6 months' time because you'll forget and you're not going to do it. Just be like, here we go, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're intensive, we're doing it, we're passing. We're serious people. We're passing our tests.
We're so serious and we're so people.
That's your time is up. Get out of the test centre.
Get your coat out of the locker.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.